Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Make it make sense.
With Ayanda Nyati.
Ayanda is back in the studio, the hardest working man here at Kaya House, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, no denials.
The fact that you are blushing is a lot for me.
Yeah,
recognizes me finally.
Oh my word.
Kunin.
Le unet degree sarcasm, ne?
No!
Marakai,
you've got a degree. Yeah.
That he possesses.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Anyway, so what can communities do to manage waste if waste collection has broken down? Guys, I mean, I don't have to stress this. You know, we drive around a lot. It can be in the suburbs, it can be in the township, can be on the freeway, where in places like where there's vendors, you just see rubbish everywhere. But the funny thing is, us as human beings, as people, we feel that, you know, we are not responsible for that cleaning, for the rubbish. Hence, we are not going to do anything about it. We'll go past it as if there is nothing, as if it's clean, nothing is wrong. When we should be actually taking some kind of action. That's me putting it out there. Anyway, I'm not trying to take your job, brother.
I'll just sit here. You know, keep going. But thank you very much for voting sarcastic food. It's such an important issue, right? Because it, I think, opens up so many different layers, even just about the culture of how South Africans interact with their environment. I think it was in the most recent World Cup where after Japan had played, a lot of people were actually going on about how clean the stadium was. Because it's typically the culture in Japan, for example, to clean after yourself. Yeah. So, again, there's so much to speak about. Let's bring in Candice Mostad. She's a founder and director of an organization called Waste Ed and is with us now via our telephone line. Candice, how's it? Welcome to Drive 959.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hi. So great to have you on. Just very quickly, Candice, in literally 10 seconds, background about the organization and what you do?
Thank you. Waste Ed is all about waste education here in South Africa. It really was a passion project of mine in my early 20s, being introduced to non-recyclables and really just being aware that there were things that weren't recyclable. And the more I spoke about it passionately, the more people were actually changing their lives and being inspired. And I realized that we could all make change that way, that I could make change. And yeah. Since then, Waste Ed's been born, and we've been sharing this message in schools and communities ever since.
All right, let's see how many people's perceptions we could change this afternoon. What impact does a lack of waste collection have actually on communities where these kind of services have broken down?
Yeah, I think we can all already visually see, you know, it doesn't look good, it doesn't feel good. But of course, it's having an effect on our health, not only as individuals, as communities, but the environment, our rivers, our oceans. But I think really what we're dealing with here, the impact is not so much about the waste problem, but actually the consumer culture that we're dealing with. And that's kind of something that gets not looked at when we're looking at waste management. And we can get into it a little bit more now.
Yeah. Speaking of that culture, I mean, I found that in many cities, once the rubbish begins piling up and nobody collects it, it's incredibly difficult to ultimately get it removed. I mean, what's your kind of, you know, I don't know, call it approach to how people can start changing cultures to prevent that rubbish from piling up to begin with?
Yeah. So like I say, it's really down to, well, first of all, we're living in South Africa, so we do have to look at our history. And we've got to really look at why are people doing this? You know, why are they treating their environments like this? And yes, maybe the services aren't necessarily there, but it's also what they have access to. So if we had access to zero waste stores, for example, where we could shop package free and we were able to buy our carrots and our vegetables and all these things without the plastic bags, without these materials, we'd be looking at different throwaway culture. But then when we look at just the history of apartheid, we're also dealing with people that are, you know, not respecting their space or not taking ownership and pride of their land because it doesn't feel like yours, you know. So there's a lot of deep stuff that we have to deal with to really take pride and ownership of our communities first and foremost. To make that decision, like, this is my land and I'm gonna look after it, you know, and how do I look after that? So that's definitely one part. And then the other part is what we can do is these kind of small things you can do as individuals. But definitely on a bigger community aspect, there's lots of things that we can do. And I can explain some of those things. But yeah, it's definitely breaking down that culture and accepting that it is our communities and we do have responsibility.
You know, Candice, I can imagine a scenario where someone is listening and thinking to themselves, I mean, I pay my taxes, I work hard to do my bit. Why should I take on this additional responsibility when there's a clear breakdown in the state, for example, who are meant to actually step into the breach?
Yeah, I think everyone has those thoughts and those feelings, but it's not going to make any change. You know, the only change that we can make is in our lives. We can't change the whole world. You know, we've seen with all these big things going on, with these wars, things that are happening in Israel, but what we can do is change us, you know, and that's where we can start, right? So even if it is just avoiding straws, not littering, speaking to other people kindly about not littering, I've seen the impact it's made just speaking to, you know, one person after the next and how they've changed their lives and how that ripple effect makes a change. But of course, when we're connecting with groups like Wasted and others, you start being inspired that, well, change is happening and I can be part of a bigger picture where zero waste stores are actually a reality. I could own a business like that, you know, and I think there's a lot of entrepreneur opportunities within waste. So every time I see something non-recyclable, like we look at a nappy and we go, okay, well, here's something that we just have to throw away. But then you look at it and you go, well, there's all this fabric waste and here's somebody that's unemployed and they could get a sewing machine and they could be part of the process to do that, an organization that gets that for them, or and they can start making reusable nappies. Opportunity for them, right? And you look at a sponge that's non-recyclable and we go, okay, well, what can we do about it? But someone could crochet some hessian or some other type of compostable fabric into a really nice scrub. So it's about looking back into the past of how people did things and then really looking at how we can change our future individually, but then also together.
You know, Candice, in the yesteryears, we used to have these big dump bins to try and avoid littering and to try and avoid dump sites from just erupting everywhere, right? And I thought that those were really helpful, especially in communities where there's a lot of people, there's movement all the time. People might be too preoccupied because we do get a place where communities are just too bogged down with the other things that they are not actually thinking outside the box, like the suggestions that you're putting forward on the table now. What is the problem with such a process being reintroduced in communities so that when bins are full, there's at least a place where people can go dump their waste without needing a car, a van or anything? They literally can walk out of the yards and actually dump.
I mean, I feel like it's just a plaster to the problem. And I believe it's a four-pronged solution. So infrastructure, education, policies, which is a big one as well. Now I forgot on the fourth one. because I'm so used to saying this. The fourth one, okay, well, whatever it is, I know we've got a small amount of time, but let's just look at infrastructure and education, which would be the two basic ones. We can't just educate people and then not have the infrastructure. And we can't just put infrastructure in place without education. But having just a big kind of dumping device or some kind of a container, it's still going to move the waste to another location, right? It's still going to be dumped somewhere. It's still going to become landfill, which is the problem. So that's why we really have to look at the root. And I know that these solutions, you know, these bigger picture concepts, infrastructure, education policies, it doesn't seem, you know, reachable, easy. But the thing is, we keep putting plasters on things and then they don't actually work long term. And we have to really look at like quality solutions versus just trying to like fix the solution. So when you look at these dumping areas, in my mind, and how we envision it, and I think this is coming to fruition, is that there should be waste to resource centers at all these locations. So based on each community, whether the people are on foot or whether they're traveling on vehicle, they need access to these places based on their needs. But these places need to process all the waste that's produced. It shouldn't be okay for a country to be accepting from other countries or producing materials that cannot be processed. So, you know, non-recyclable things. It shouldn't be okay to keep producing these things that are just ending up nowhere, you know. So they need to fit into a cycle. They need to be compostable, and they need to be all recyclable. And then even better, they need to be reusable, right? And once you create those infrastructures and then those educations that empower people and provide them the places to do that, and even, you know, a community garden where now you're shopping in the garden, your kids are getting to taste the tomatoes before they even buy them. Now we're talking about the communities that were thriving. We're happy, you know, and we're actually being able to change these problems and these systems.
So Candice, we recently did a hiking, and it was so difficult. Everyone was complaining about it. So maybe what we can do in the not-too-distant future is do a collaboration with you where we can identify a place or places that needs to be cleaned, and we can come out on a weekend, come for a walk while we are cleaning at the same time. Something to think about.
Sounds amazing. Definitely.
Skumba is ready. Skumba is ready for it.
I'm not.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. No. Believe in yourself, no, my guy.
No. I'm good, eh?
On that commitment, Candice Mostar, thanks very much indeed for your time for today's Make It Make Sense.
So here's the question. Is waste collection a problem in your community? How is it affecting your quality of life? It's cool, Nekhomut. It's a nice idea, right?
No, it's a horrible idea.
Yeah.
By the way, that's how Kigali.
You can open your mic.
Oh, sorry. That's how Kigali got clean, wasn't it? Where communities were moved and they started cleaning.
Where?
The Kigali.
Kigali. Where are we?
We can. No, guys, we can.
Actually, we start with Tembisa.
We are starting with Tembisa.
He's running team. There is no way people are going to go Tembisa. Utote konin, basic to outlet no homes on a scumba, no and the kind and 5 9, puzzle figure was a clean woo bangachabu.
No, this is what is and I was
encouraging the community.
Caring keep any land.
Leave a comment. WhatsApp 063-688-0959.
What can communities do to manage waste if waste collection has broken down? And we asked you to please drop us a voice note. Is waste collection a problem in your community? How is it affecting your quality of life? That time we pumo chushilo unuga gamnande, but nazimpuganila.
The conin. And you know, if you have a corner house, chances are you will get someone decided to like a dirty by your house.
Yeah.
That's why most of the houses in Samakodin will have signs to say, if you find you dumping rubbish here, we'll fine you 500 rand.
Yeah.
You always find those signs written somewhere in Mabondin, because people just decide that a corner house should be the dumping site.
Yes, please. I absolutely love that idea. I will be there. Sign me up. Number one, Mulaini. I would gladly love to come for a walk where we're cleaning up our environment at the same time. It would also benefit our kids tremendously.
As the conversation has been going on, I'm driving behind a Golf TSI and they literally threw something out the window.
Imagine.
And I'm thinking, who's going to pick it up? Can't you wait to get home and throw it in the bin? So yeah, it is quite disappointing to see that adults are the most litterers.
So I feel like waste management starts with you, actually. Reason I'm saying that is because something as light as throwing a TP out of the window, I mean, you're also contributing to the waste and stuff, you know. So people don't see OT like nakona, like they see it as intengane, just throwing away a paper, because I was little paper little happy, I understand. And we are complaining about foreign people bangolisa ichozi and stuff like that, you know, but we're not doing we're actually reciprocating whatever that's happening. So I feel like we should actually start from us, not itself, because I mean, something as small as throwing a paper, apparently it's actually not a very good thing.
So what I've heard in the past, and usually comes from black people, like they will just litter deliberately and say, "Se nigum sebenzi."
Imagine.
You're actually disrespecting someone. You are littering deliberately. and you tell someone no,
and they're being irresponsible.
No, you're being, and it's also good for, it's not good for the environment as well.
Giving you savings. One thing for them, someone to open another pen.
Exactly, you must clean after yourself. I get a homo, so you've heard that. I get.
I've heard. We are creating jobs. But to pick it up, but if we are not littering, it's rubbish. They already have to collect waste anyway, organized in bins. But I do think that, you know, even when Candace was speaking, we need to have our communities to have like bins, man, guys. You walk through the CBD. When was the last time you saw where you could throw something? Those things help a lot. I mean, you were talking about the hike. Botanical Gardens obviously is a no littering zone. But as you walk in, there's a bin here. There's a bin there.
100%.
And of course, along the trail, there might not be any. But you know that all your waste you keep in your bag, when you leave, you throw away. Those things help promote cleanliness in the city.
So, but at the same time, sorry, Glenn, at the same time, we have a problem of Nyaube. We have a problem of stealing. So if you're going to put ama pins with steel, ama gas, or a chosen just starting, you know they're not going to last for a day. They're going to be out and been stolen. That's how. That's an, another problem that we are facing.
And that's why we used to have concrete bins, if you remember. It had like rough stones at the outside. We need concrete bins where anybody, when they walk, they can throw in our parks, community centers, all of those things. They are so important in promoting that thing. Bini 2 minutes away from you.
And even in some malls, you find that they just don't have enough of them. And you desperately want to throw this thing away. That's why some people are even tempted just to litter. Because they can't find a rubbish bin. One thing that I saw the other day on YouTube was this guy. Because there's a listener who was complaining about someone who threw something out of the window of a moving vehicle. This person observed a motorist throwing a paper out of their car. They picked up that paper. They threw it back in the car.
Good.
Now it's road rage.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's a
now it's road rage now.
Skumba. Skumba. Not the highway. We will. Everybody will be stuck in traffic because I'm going to deal with you.
Leave a comment. WhatsApp 063-688-0959.
We were not like this growing up, Tina. Soweto was very clean. Other areas were very clean. We knew in front of the house. We knew that we needed to clean up. Nowadays, that is not enforced. And yeah, everybody's taking the back seat. And depending on the police people to come and collect. I mean, it's supposed to be a community effort. Skumba, we need you in this one, my man. Let's do it. Guys, let's clean up our areas.
Yo, my family and I happened to go for dinner at this new center in Alberton. And as we're leaving, my husband and I and our four-year-old son, they get out of the car and they're making their way to one of the, you know, spots that are there, night spots as well. And what do? They take a Kenya and alcoholic beverage that they were drinking, and they literally, with a dustbin 5 steps away from them, they literally put it on the floor. I was appalled, to say the least, and I had to actually talk to my four-year-old son to just say, you know what, it's not on, guys. We will never have a beautiful country and beautiful kind of communal environments if we don't do the right thing. Stop littering.
Make it make sense with Ayanda Nyati.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.